Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Philip H. Geyer is a dedicated communications industry leader and activist who defined the modern advertising holding company. He is widely recognized for having championed and personally embodied the client-centric business model. In a new book, Survive to Thrive, Sustaining Yourself, Your Brand, and Your Business from Recession to Recovery, Geyer, who's an Advertising Hall of Famer, weighs in on how to navigate the current downturn and position for success. Welcome to Edgewise, Phil.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your book. It has a lot of helpful information for companies at all stages of their organization.
It's really part business Bible, part advertising history, and part personal memoir. It's a book for anyone who wants to understand the history of global marketing communications, the principles that will help marketers and managers succeed in every business climate, and the mistakes that you should try to avoid. It's also a book that tells you the inside stories of how great global brands and global agencies were built. It introduces you to some of the most influential people in the history of advertising, from the Mad Men days of the 60s to the creative and financial whizzes who transformed global advertising in the 80s and 90s. But also, it tries to really zone in on particularly the recessionary periods and what you do and how you get through those recessionary periods with good results. This one is particularly long, but in most cases in the past, they came out reasonably quick. And part of that reason is it was the consumer that had a problem in the recession. In this case, it's the financial system that had a problem. And without getting the consumer back on track to start spending again, it's going to take us a longer time in this recession.
And that's a major issue that corporate America is just going to have to address.
That's right. They've got to get the consumer back.
You were involved for four decades in the ups and downs of industry. Do you have one major lesson that it taught you?
The key one is once you get involved with a recessionary period, you have to make sure that you have a innovation program and upgrade your present product program through this situation, because that is where you are going to have your results.
Okay.
There are 10 principles for bad times and for good times.
Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes. Adapt. A recession of this magnitude forces change on everyone. Motivate. Be upfront with the workforce. Focus effort. Focus efforts on core business. Stay true to your vision. Survive beyond the current recession means knowing where you want your company to go when your recovery begins. Communicate. It's very important to do that for all constituencies. Innovate. A recession makes it easy to delay innovation and new product development. You must find the funds to continue research and development because you can be sure your competitors will. This is an area which, in my opinion, is the major one, and it's got to be protected. Seize the new opportunities. Venture capital dries up. Ability to buy outside resources are possible. You can get it at low prices, efficient and effective. Integrate marketing. This is the kind of thing that you have to do in this market, making sure that your campaigns are integrated, particularly going into the point of sale operation. Retain credibility, inspire customers. And it doesn't matter what business you're in. This is good for small businesses, marketing companies, or manufacturing.
So, Phil, how do you maintain your long-term vision while adapting to current reality, particularly when the current reality changes weekly, if not daily?
If you have a vision that's pretty well set, then you have to adapt and adjust as you go along, but maintain that position of where you want to be. Otherwise, you'll get sidetracked, you'll cut back too quickly, and you won't invest when you need to invest. So whatever you believe in for the long term, work toward it, even though you have to make some adaptations along the way.
And I assume that it should be written, and you need to get a commitment from all of your management team.
One of the things that's very important is you have to make sure that you dig down deep as you go through your review meetings and make sure you're following through on executing. This is a case where what you commit to paper and what your people committed to paper, you got to make sure it comes through and you have execution on what was agreed to. Then you have accountability, but it's getting it down inside the company at lower levels. And the way to do that is do a lot of visiting and talk to a lot of people down in the operating side of the business.
Exactly. Now, I have a question for you. When is it time to innovate and when is it time to stick with the tried and true? You mentioned it in your book, the new Coke example.
Yes, that's an unusual story because here was a situation where this formula was sacrosanct. Nobody could touch it.
Right.
The technical man who became chairman decided to put the formula on the table, which nobody at Coca-Cola would ever dare consider doing. They did research and utilized some outside consulting firms. I'm not a great believer in consulting firms because they seem to always think they're right and they usually go along with the management on everything.
No kidding.
The research that was done, however, demonstrated very clearly that 25% of the consumers, particularly in the South, were not going to drink the product.
Ooh.
And all the outside sources and support and some of the inside people all thought, well, they have nowhere else to go. And as it turned out, they didn't drink the product. And immediately Don Keough, who was very quick, said, I want this changed right back to what it was. Now, it was a big error, but it turned out to be a great success because it got top of mind with every consumer in the United States.
So it had a certain marketing value.
Very good. It brought the brand right up on top again.
Right. Now, as you think about that and other situations as companies have to innovate, is there any message you might share?
Good example. Apple was a small company in the computer business. In the middle of a recession, it launched the iTunes, and it also went retail.
Right, right.
And it became very successful coming out of the recession with those two moves. So they innovated with a new product, and they innovated through distribution with their regular product, and that's the ideal.
Absolutely.
I'll give you another example.
Go ahead.
In packaged goods companies, if you have a high share of market versus a low share of market in a city, you want to put your money in a recession on the high share markets. You have to pull a little bit out on the smaller markets, but you get a better, much faster return for your money in those bigger markets until the thing comes back. And as it comes back, you can reinvest in the small markets again.
So do you have any specific things that companies should be doing to achieve success today?
Yes. In any business.
Sure.
Because of what happened with the internet and email, you have a situation where everything is being done electronically. Decisions are made electronically, and the personal involvement is getting lower and lower. One of the things that I realized is you've got to do more than just worry about, let's say in my case, the advertising. You'll worry about the marketing. What is on the top management's mind? Now, how do you get to those guys? And how do you maintain that involvement? In today's world, it's almost impossible because you've got the problem. The doors are not open because they say, send me an email or send me a note or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Finding ways to do that is important.
Of course.
The second one is a good one, and I always enjoy it. Somebody taught me this. If you want to get in to see the CEO or the president, you make sure that the secretary gets a little perfume at Christmas time. And it was amazing how easy it was to get on his agenda.
Yeah. So obviously communications is critical. What are some of the other things when you're faced with the challenge?
In respect to the marketing?
Yes. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Most companies have review meetings and update meetings, and they have yearly review meetings. Some of them are full of information and data. And a lot of the top guys in the company don't get deep into what's in the data that's down below in these review meetings. And the other thing I learned from Larry Bossidy, who wrote Execution, which is a great book, is you go down yourself and get involved. And therefore, if there's a problem, you get the monthly reports in that division or whatever, you go visit, you go see, you go talk to people around in that operation.
Right.
In our business, in advertising, I always to talk to the creative people to find out how good the account management was. And when I'm hiring somebody, I'll go to the opposite side in that same company and interview just to find out how he works with people. So in the top job, you got to find ways and means to get down into the operations, and it's worth it because you'll be able to help.
Right.
And you got to be careful. Your own people get upset with it at times, but if it's done the right way, it's well worth it for you and the company.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were chairman of the board of Interpublic.
Up to 2000.
What is the story behind Interpublic? I know you tell it in the book.
You should read the book because it's got a lot of examples of things that you shouldn't do and some of the things that you should have done, including me when I left and the way it was handled.
Why don't you tell us about that?
You had a perfect storm hit you in 2001 with the blow up in the recession. On top of it, they had Sarbanes-Oxley hit at the same time. And then they had some problems with Price Waterhouse. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I would have fired them, but they didn't do it. So these little things all hit them at the same time. And because of that, it took their eye off the business. The one other one, a lot of companies were purchased in that 99-2000 period.
Right.
You've got to make sure they get executed properly when you do acquisitions. The follow-through is enormously important, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They didn't do the homework as well as they should have. Because of that, they had more problems.
So, Phil, I'm just curious, why is the role of HR so critical in today's business world?
The problem, particularly manufacturing, but even in the service business, is they have administrators running the companies, and as they get bigger, they automatically do everything by a system and procedure and paper. So you have a situation where you don't have HR really involved with understanding the people and their strengths and weaknesses on a personal basis. In the marketing business and advertising business, particularly, you've got to have a feel for it because you've got creative people there that are different in the way you got to handle them.
Absolutely.
One of the things that happened even in Interpublic when they changed management a couple of times is they didn't have that.
Right.
Ideally, I would want an HR person that was a people person.
Sure.
And secondly, give him an administrator underneath him so he can operate and not be criticized by the board about the fact that they don't have the numbers right on stuff that are presented. Have that one guy who can really work with the people aspect of the business. It's a huge mistake in some of the companies today because they don't have that.
Now, we've been talking mostly about large established companies, but what advice would you give to startups or up-and-coming companies?
They have to have an innovative product. Product has to be priced properly and deliver real value. It has to be marketed with the proper strategy. And has to be financed well enough in the first year to get through the development and beta testing. And that's one of the problems today. They underestimate what they need in funds. But if a new enterprise does all this, they have a 1 in 5 chance of making it. If they really do well on their betas, they have a stronger chance, 1 in 3. If you have those basics packaged up properly and monitored properly, you have a shot at it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Phil, do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
I think the main thing is understanding and being true to yourself. Use what you got, understand what you have, and try to operate within your abilities. But at the same time, realize that if you have a weakness here or there, either have people with you that can make up the difference for you, or learn a little bit more yourself.
Uh-huh.
I'm a great believer of team support. And I found it was easier for me to make sure that where I was a little weak, I brought somebody in there to help me. And therefore, we were much stronger. And I could concentrate on what I was good at, and it worked. Even when we were about to lose an account, and I found out the guy doesn't like me, I've got no ego. Get somebody in there that's going to do it.
We've been speaking to Phil Geyer of the Geyer Group, a New York-based marketing communications and venture capital firm. Phil, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you.
Do you understand the complexities of the coming GAAP to IFRS changeover? AMA's new seminar explores these new guidelines by examining actual financial statements prepared in accordance with IFRS and comparing the principal differences between them and United States GAAP. By taking this seminar, you will not only become familiar with IFRS, but you will be significantly ahead of the pack when the changeover occurs. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 1238 into the search box. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.